So these are some stories, quotes, qualities, interactions with Krishna, ecstatic symptoms manifest by Srimati Radharani. I got quite a few here. I got about almost 15 pages from Prabhupada's books, which I took out from the books. So this is from Nectar of Devotion. A person is called a person is called a genius when he can refute any kind of opposing element with newer and newer arguments. In this connection, there's a statement in Padyavali, that's Rupa Goswami's book, which contains the following conversation between Krishna and Radha. One morning when Krishna came to Radha, Radha asked him, "My dear Keshava, where is your vas at present?" The Sanskrit word vas has three meanings. One meaning is residence, one meaning is fragrance, and another meaning is dress. Actually, Radharani inquired from Krishna, "Where is your dress?" But Krishna took the meaning as residence, and he replied to Srimati Radharani, "My dear captivated one, at the present moment..." Oh, good morning. "My residence is in your beautiful eyes." To this, Radharani replied, "My dear cunning boy, I did not ask you about your residence, I inquired about your dress." Krishna then took the meaning of vas as fragrance and said, "My dear fortunate one, I have just assumed this fragrance in order to be associated with your body." Srimati Radharani again inquired from Krishna, "Where did you pass the night?" The exact Sanskrit word used in this connection was yaminya mushitaha. Yaminya means at night and ushita means pass. Krishna, however, divided the word yaminya mushita into two separate words, namely yaminya and mushitaha. By dividing this word into two, it came out to mean that he was kidnapped by yamini, or night. Krishna therefore replied to Radharani, "My dear Radharani, is it possible, Haribol, that night can kidnap me?" In this way, he was answering all the questions of Radharani so cunningly that he gladdened this dearest of the gopis. So we're reading about the ecstatic symptoms of Srimati Radharani. So another one is called rolling on the ground. That's actually an anubhava. There's different types of bhavas or emotions that pure devotees exhibit. The first one is anubhava. Anubhava means basically it's something voluntary. You know what voluntary means? What does it mean?
It's like you do it without anybody telling you or forcing you.
No, you decide to do it. That's what voluntary means in this particular context. In other words, like some symptoms you can't control. Just like if you yell at me and I get angry, probably can't control it. But if you ask me to chant, then I can control that because I can control my chanting. So rolling on the ground is actually one of the symptoms that people can control. It's called a anubhava. The sattvika bhavas, there's eight sattvika bhavas, are part of someone's constitution or nature. And then the vyabhachari bhavas, there's 33 of them, they're uncontrolled, intermittent things that just come out like that. You're not even aware. Like one time, Prabhupada was, two times actually it happened, Prabhupada was extolling the beauty of Sri Sri Gaur Nittai. He had arrived in a temple in Atlanta, and then before that he had arrived in a temple in Caracas, Venezuela, and Prabhupada was noticing the beauty of the deities, and he said, started to chant this very nice poem, Parama Karana Bahudvijanam Nitai Gaurachan, that my dear Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, you are the most merciful. Parama Karana. That means the topmost merciful. So when he saw the deities and chanted that poem, what happened? He became completely unconscious, like in a trance, like in a coma. And the devotees didn't know what to do. And finally, after a few minutes, the devotees started chanting Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada, when he came back to consciousness, was asked by the devotees, what should we do when this happens? And Prabhupada was very apologetic about the whole thing. He didn't say, I was in ecstasy, Prabhu, and you woke me up out of my ecstasy. He said, I'm sorry that this doesn't happen very often. So in other words, it was something the Prabhupada couldn't control, and this is a symptom of the great pure devotee. It's called the Vyabhachari Bhava. V-Y-A-B-I-C-A-R-I, Bhava. Everyone understand that? What does Bhava mean, Keshav? Bhava means, let's say, anger is a bhava, fear is a bhava.
Emotion?
Yeah, emotion. It's an emotional expression. But in this world, we have a type of bhava. It's called bhava rogue. What's a bhava rogue? Anyone know? What's a rogi?
Sick.
A sick person. So bhava rogue means what?
Sick emotions.
Sick emotions. Give me an example. What's a sick emotion?
Uh-oh.
I'm not talking about just mentally ill. I'm just talking...
Envy
in this material world. Lust. Envy. Greed.
Pride.
Anger due to frustration. Of course, all these emotions are there in the spiritual realm, like I was talking about last night in the class. But they're there in their original, pure, pristine state where they're nectarian. They're full of bliss. But in the material world, you can't be happy when you're angry, can you? Anger. And you can't be happy when you're envious. Like if I look at Jitendra and I see, oh, he has a nicer car than me. He doesn't, of course. His car is not. But anyway, let's take hypothetically, theoretically. He has a nicer car than me. And I just, I turn green with, you know, they have this color of green with envy. So nobody's happy when they're green. So they turn green with envy, and I'm not happy. But actually, if I praise him for having a nice car, then I'm happy. If I, praise a Vaishnava. Anyway, so that's called bhava what? Material emotions that are sick emotions are called bhava what? What's the second word? Bhava? Nobody remembers? Rati, oh no. He said what?
Rogue.
Bhava rogue. Means sick emotions. So we're interested in transcendental bhavas. And so, as we mentioned before, there's different types of bhavas. There's the anubhava. And there's another thing called the sthayi bhava. Does anyone know what a sthayi bhava is?
Steady.
Steady. That means... It's the emotion that I have or someone has from being a coward boy or being a gopi or being a parent of Krishna or being a servant of Krishna. In other words, it's connected with one's rati. It's connected with one's ras. You understand that? So that's called the sthayi bhava, means steady. So there's another bhava. I guess I should mention this. It's getting a little complicated now. It's called the vibhava. Oh my God, so many bhavas. Vibhava, sthayi bhava, anubhava, sattvika bhava, sanjari bhava, vyabhachari bhava. What are we going to do about that? So it's actually important for the kids to understand this. So a vibhava means the thing that stimulates emotion. You understand? Something stimulates emotion. Like if, giving the example, let's say Jitendra has a car. So his car stimulates my emotion of envy. That's a bhava rogue. So the car is a vibhava. But in the spiritual world, there are two types of vibhavas. And I'll give you the Sanskrit word, but you don't have to remember it. There's a lambana and udipana, which means directly Krishna and things related with Krishna. Can you give me an example of directly Krishna, how seeing him would stimulate an emotion? That's easy. You just see Krishna. You see the deities. So, give me an example of something related with Krishna that would stimulate your emotion.
Vrindavan.
Vrindavan.
Sunset. something to do with Krishna?
Yes, but give me an example.
His flute?
His flute. Like if you see, even if you see a material person, you know, some musician playing a flute, that, if you're a devotee, that can stimulate your emotional sentiment for Krishna. The example is given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. How Mukunda, who was a physician, and he was giving advice to the Nawab, who was a Muslim, right? Nawab. And he gave him medical advice. And so, at one point, someone came up, one of the Nawab's servants came up and started to fan the Nawab with a what?
A peacock
fan. So as soon as he saw the peacock fan, what had happened? Does anyone know the story? He what? Yeah, he remembered Krishna, but what happened?
Tears.
He went even more than that. He fell down from the high platform in which he was talking to the king or the Nawab on. He collapsed on the ground. And the Nawab came down and said, "My dear physician, what's the problem?" And Mukunda, being very humble, he said, "It's epilepsy." But actually, the Nawab knew it was a symptom of ecstasy. So that's a Vibhava. And also, give me do you know an example of Lord Chaitanya's pastime of a Vibhava? Lord Chaitanya directly. When Lord Chaitanya went to Jagannath Puri, what happened?
When he fainted.
He fainted, went unconscious. And the devotees thought that he was dead. You know, the breathing was very, very slight. They had to put a cotton swab. You know what that is? Piece of cotton. That's a cotton swab. They had to put it by his what's a nostril?
Oh.
That's it. That's good. They had to put it by his nose, and they just saw this slight breathing. And they carried him back to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and brought him back to consciousness. So that's an example of vibhav. A vibhav coupled with a vyavachari bhav. You understand? It was the vibhav stimulated the emotion, and the Vyabhachari Bhav was actually the emotional expression. It was stimulated by the Vibhav. I'm trying to make this very clear, because it's an important subject matter to understand advancement in devotional service, because as we advance, we hopefully will experience these emotions. Gauranga Balite Habi Pula Dasharir. As explained by Narottama Das Thakur, when you chant the name of Gauranga, you feel what? The hairs on the body standing up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a lady, it's dangerous because all your hairs stand up. That's why we shave our heads. So when the hairs stand up, it doesn't look so bad. You know, at least just the seeker comes up. So, anyway, so this is what we're reading about. But with Srimati Radharani, she has the highest expressions of bhavs, which are called Mahabhav. You understand? Only Radharani and her most intimate associates can come to that platform. There's a whole hierarchy of, let's say, intensity of bhavs. It's explained, you know, like pranaya, and then finally culminating or ending in mahabhav, and that's Srimati Radharani. So that's what we're reading about today. It's actually nice to take a few days reading about Srimati Radharani. So now we're going to read about rolling on the ground. One gopi gave a message to Krishna that Radharani, because of her separation from him and because of her attachment with the aroma of his flower garlands, was rolling on the ground, thereby bruising her soft body. So what was the vibhav in this expression? Krishna's flower garlands. And the vyabhachari bhav was her rolling on the ground. See, when Srila Rupa Goswami presents these different stories in the Nectar of Devotion, they actually are to elaborate or illustrate a particular aspect of this Bhava philosophy. So when you read Nectar of Devotion, you can understand in this particular context. Do you all understand that? It's not just that Srila Rupa Goswami is just telling far out wonderful stories about Radha and Krishna. There's a progression, and there's a reason why he tells a particular story in a particular chapter. the Nectar Devotion should be analyzed as a holistic progression from the Vaidhi Bhakti to the Raghunuga Bhakti to the Bhava Bhakti and finally the Prema Bhakti, and then the symptoms of each of those stages of bhakti. Anyway, here's another one. One gopi informed Krishna that when Srimati Radharani was singing about his glories, she enchanted all of her friends in such a way that they became stone-like and dull. At the same time, the nearby stones began to melt away in ecstatic love. So that's something like Krishna, when he plays his flute, the stones melt, right? So in the same way, when Radharani is singing about Krishna's glory. So here, Radharani singing about Krishna's glories is the vibhav, and her friends becoming stone-like is actually the vyabhacharya bhav. Do you follow that? Mm. And the nearby stones also exhibited vyabhachari bhavs, which is actually quite interesting. Yawning. Yawning is another symptom. It is said that when the full moon rises, the lotus petals become expanded. Similarly, when Krishna used to appear before Radharani, her face, which is compared to the lotus flower, would expand by her yawning. So what's the vibhav here? Krishna appearing before Radharani, because it's directly Krishna. And the this is a vyabhachari bhav. Her face yawning, her yawning, I like that, is her vyabhachari bhav. So normally in the material world, what does it mean when you yawn? You're tired or you're bored. But in the spiritual, see, all the same symptoms can actually be something very, very positive in the spiritual realm, whereas in the material realm, like if I'm giving class and I see Keshav, I say, get out. Because it's not so nice to see someone yawning during class. Sometimes you're giving class and you see people not yawning, but just like staring straight ahead, sleeping with their eyes open. Devotees have learned to do that after years of practice. So the next one is in the material world. The next symptom we're going to talk about in the material world is actually considered very inauspicious, at least in the Western world, is belching. What's belching? Burping. Sometimes belching becomes a symptom of ecstatic love. There's evidence of this in Purnamasi's address to one crying associate of Radharani. My daughter, don't be worried because Srimati Radharani is belching. I am about to offer a remedial measure for this symptom. Do not cry so loudly. This belching is not due to indigestion. It is a sign of ecstatic love for Krishna. I shall arrange to cure this belching symptom immediately. Don't be worried. This is a statement by Purnamasi. It's evidence that ecstatic love for Krishna is sometimes manifested through belching. Hmm. And also like hiccuping too. You know what hiccup is? Like that, that's a hiccup. So these things are uncontrollable by a devotee, by a pure devotee. Next one is trembling. When Krishna was trying to capture the demon Shankar Chuda, we mentioned the story last night, Radharani began trembling out of fearfulness. Similar trembling of the body was exhibited in Sahadev, the younger brother of Nakula. When Shishupal was vehemently blaspheming the Lord, Sahadev began to tremble out of anger. Trembling of the body was also exhibited by Radharani out of tribulation. That means sorrow. Radharani trembled as she told one of the gopis, "Don't joke with this disappointing boy. Please ask him not to approach me because he is always the cause of grief for all of us." There's an interesting story, actually, I'm just remembering right now, from the Vidagdha Madhava about Radharani's chastity. That once upon a time, Radharani became very upset because she thought she was not chaste. She was thinking, I'm in love with three different people. And the three different people, one was the person who plays the flute. The other one was that beautiful blackish boy with the threefold bending form. And the other one was the person with the name Krishna. So she was so much in ecstasy that she actually thought that those three different aspects of Krishna, manifestations of Krishna, were actually different persons. So she was ready to commit suicide because she considered herself unchaste. It's a nice story, isn't it? That's Rupa Goswami. So guilt. Here's another one. Guilt. Do you ever feel guilty, Keisha?
Sometimes.
What happens to cause your guilt? You do something wrong and you know your parents are going to be upset and you don't want to tell them. Yeah. When a person blames himself for committing an inappropriate action, his feelings are called guilt. One day, Srimati Radharani was churning yogurt for Krishna. At that time, the jeweled bangles on her hands were circling around and she was also chanting the holy name of Krishna. She was going, Hare Krishna. That's how actually they make ghee in the traditional society. And butter first, of course, and then ghee. Nowadays, in the factories, the way to make ghee is they have a membrane and they force the milk out through a membrane and the big pieces remain on one side and that's the butter. So it's a very mechanical way. But in the traditional method, which is Ayurvedic, they would take the yogurt and churn the yogurt. It's a very nice way. All of a sudden, she thought, I'm chanting the holy name of Krishna and my mother-in-law and sister-in-law may hear me. By this thought, Radharani became over-anxious. This is a feeling of guilt because of devotion to Krishna. One day, the beautiful-eyed Srimati Radharani entered to the forest to collect some flowers to prepare a garland for Krishna. While collecting the flowers, she became afraid that someone might see her, and she felt some fatigue and weakness. This is an instance of guilty feelings caused by labor for Krishna. There's a statement in the Rasa Sudhakara that after passing the night with Krishna, Radharani became so weak that she was unable to get up from bed. When Krishna took her hand to help her, Radharani felt guilty about having passed the night with him. So that's another symptom.
Nice.
All these symptoms. Now here's another one, intoxication. That's a Vyabhacharya Bhava. There's another symptom of the intoxication in the person of Srimati Radharani after she saw Krishna. Sometimes she was walking hither and thither. What's that mean, hither and thither? Here and there. That's all it means. That's just a fancy English way of saying here and there. Sometimes she was laughing, sometimes she was covering her face, sometimes she was talking without any meaning, and sometimes she was praying to her associate gopis. Seeing these symptoms in Radharani, the gopis began to talk amongst themselves, saying, just see how Radharani has become intoxicated simply by seeing Krishna before her. So the Vibhava was seeing Krishna, and the Sanchari or the Vyabhacharya Bhava was being intoxicated, just acting like a crazy person. This is an instance of ecstatic love and intoxication. Of course, in the material world, when one falls in love, they sometimes act crazy too, isn't it? They fall in love with the wrong person. Just like the story of Shantanu. What was the story of Shantanu? Who did he fall in love with?
The fisherman's daughter.
Oh, before that. Who was his first wife?
Oh, Ganga.
And he was so much in love with her that he did what?
He promised.
He promised what?
He would not argue against anything she would do.
Yeah. And so then as she proceeded to kill her children, what?
He didn't say anything.
That's pretty heavy, isn't it? That means one is completely crazy. Completely crazy. So the next symptom of Radharani is pride. Sometimes Radharani felt pride within herself and said, although all the coward boys prepare nice flower garlands for Krishna, when I present my garland to him, he becomes struck with wonder and immediately accepts it and puts it on his heart. So here's another story, here's another crazy story. Out of ecstatic love for Krishna, Radharani sometimes acted like an addled person, that means crazy person, and attempted to churn yogurt, although there was no yogurt in the pot. In other words, empty. She was going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, like this. And seeing this, Krishna became so enchanted by Radharani that he began to milk a bull instead of a cow. That's pretty funny. These are some of the instances of insanity or madness in connection with the love affairs of Radha and Krishna. We'll read another one or two. confusion. There's a statement in the Hansa-dutta, one day when Radharani was feeling much affliction, that means sadness, due to her separation from Krishna, she would have a nice day work, cure people from Bhava Rog. She was feeling so much affliction because separated from Krishna. She went to the bank of the Yamuna with some of her friends. There, Radharani saw a cottage where she and Krishna had experienced many loving pastimes. And by remembering those incidents, she became immediately overcome with dizziness. So the cottage was the Vibhav, and the dizziness was the Vyabhachari Bhav. Got it? If you can learn this simple point, you can impress your teacher. If you go into GGG next time and you said, I'd like to talk about Vibhavs and Anubhavs and Vyabhachari Bhavs, because I've had enough with, I'm not the body. I'm more advanced. You should tell that to your teacher next time.
You're saying that? No.
He said, uh-oh.
I'm not saying that. You're saying that. No.
All right. Next one is confusion. On another occasion, when Radharani thought that Krishna was involved with another lady, she addressed her friend in this manner. My dear friend, as soon as I think of Krishna, the coward boy attached to some other woman, I become stricken with fear and the hairs of my body stand up. I must be very careful that Krishna not see me at such times. This is an instance of concealment caused by shyness and diplomatic behavior. There are many symptoms of ecstatic love caused by remembering Krishna. For example, one friend of Krishna informed him, my dear Mukunda, just after observing a bluish cloud in the sky, that's a vibhav, remember? The lotus-eyed Radharani immediately began to remember you, Krishna. And simply by observing this cloud, she became lusty for your association. So that's a Vyabhachari Bhav. This is an instance of remembering Krishna in ecstatic love because of seeing something resembling him. Krishna's bodily complexion. Devotees do this all the time. They look at clouds in the sky, especially not those clouds. But it has to be like a rain cloud, a fresh rain cloud that's bluish black. And they actually think, wow, that's just like Krishna. And if you become very Krishna conscious, everything reminds you of Krishna. Like if you look at even this table, you'll think this belongs to Krishna. So everything becomes a vibhav for a pure devotee. Do you understand that? Everything becomes a vibhav. Krishna's bodily complexion is similar to the bluish hue of a cloud. So simply by observing a bluish cloud, Srimati Radharani remembered him. And the final one is envy. In the 10th canto, 30th chapter, verse 30 of the Bhagavatam, there's the following statement. When the gopis were searching for Krishna and Radha after the rasa dance, they began to speak among themselves. We have seen the footprints of Krishna and Radha on the ground of Vrindavan, and they are giving us great pain. So the vibhav is the footprints, and the vyabhachari bhav is the pain. Because although Krishna is everything to us, that girl is so cunning. Who is that girl? Radharani. That she is taking him away alone and is enjoying his kissing without sharing him with us. This is another instance of envy of the good fortune of Srimati Radharani. Okay. And that's all we'll read today. So maybe we'll read some more tomorrow. Tell more stories tomorrow. So any questions or comments? Yeah.
So do you know how many bhavas there are?
Yeah. Well, the vibhav is broken into, I mean, I'm going to do the whole thing, is broken into two different categories. Krishna and those things related with Krishna. And then also within things related with Krishna, you have the ashraya, the shelter of the emotion, and the vishaya, that's Krishna, the enjoying of the emotion. Anyway, it's very complicated, the whole analysis. And then amongst the astasattvika bhavs, you got 8 of those. Amongst the vyabhachari bhavs, you have 33. And the anubhavs, I think there's about 12. I have to look up the number of those.
So there's like more than 100 bhavs.
Yeah. Or, and each of the bhavs, you know, let's say 33 vyabhachari bhavs, they're actually broken up. There's unlimited variety within each one of them. I mean, it's like you can say, I'm angry, but there's different types of anger. you can have like tears coming from your eyes when you're angry, or you're just angry a little bit. You know, different varieties of anger, different varieties of lust, different varieties of fainting. So, I mean, it's unlimited varieties of emotions in the spiritual world. Sound good? And that's what you have to look forward to. Actually, being in the spiritual world is like being on an emotional roller coaster 24 hours a day, at least for the gopis. It's just they're either crying, rolling on the ground, angry,
or happy.
Or jumping, not just happy, but jumping in ecstasy. 24 hours a day, they're exhibiting like extreme ecstatic emotions. Can you imagine life like that? I mean, how could you go to sleep? You can't. And there's no question of sleeping when you're experiencing it. And the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they didn't sleep because they were experiencing this 24 hours a day. Just like if you're experiencing a lot of fear, you can't go to sleep. Or anxiety, you can't go to sleep. So they were experiencing extreme emotions. Nidrahara. They gave up eating because, you know, also when you're experiencing extreme emotions, you don't really get hungry. If you're fearful running away from some demon, it's not you think, I better stop and eat a sandwich on the way. So that's why they gave up eating and sleeping, because that's what ecstasy means. Extreme emotions. Like, you know what a roller coaster is?
Yes.
You ever been on one?
Yeah.
And sometimes you go up, right?
Yeah, and then you go shoo.
And you go down. I went on one my whole life, and I never went on one again. Because the most miserable experience I've ever had.
We've been on a roller coaster that flips you upside down.
Yeah, don't ask me to go with you.
It's incredible.
It's miserable. But in the spiritual world, it's all ecstatic. So the devotees, even misery is ecstatic in the spiritual world. Feeling Krishna's separation is like you're crying, but you're also feeling ecstasy simultaneously. It's nice, isn't it? So that's what you have to look forward to if you become Krishna conscious, or when you become Krishna conscious. So any other questions? Yeah.
What's an anubhava?
Anubhava means that a voluntary expression of ecstasy, like dancing, for example. And just like last night, devotees were dancing in the kirtan. That's an anubhava. It means that which follows, anubhava. You know, that which follows the vibhav. It follows immediately the vibhav. Let's say, you know, they open up the curtains and then we offer obeisances. That's voluntary. I mean, I don't think most time it's involuntary. In other words, I don't think it happens automatically. You have to decide to offer obeisances. So you can control the anubhavs. If someone says, don't dance, you just don't dance. If someone says, dance, you dance. Yeah. So that's an anubhav. Things like that that you can control. But the sattvagabhavs are always there as part of your personality. And sometimes they come to the surface, sometimes they don't. But they're always always under the surface, at least. And the vyabhachari bhavs are also another name for vyabhachari bhav is sanchari bhav. Sanchari, that's just another name for vyabhachari bhav. Sanchari, S-A-N-C-A-R-I. They actually come just like when you're not aware they're going to come. They just like surprise you. In other words, you're sitting giving Bhagavatam class and you hear the name Gauranga and you go, oh. Hasn't happened to me, don't worry. Sometimes that happens. Like sometimes you're reading something really ecstatic and you just like can't control yourself. And that's a sanchari vyabhachari bhav. Sanchari vyabhachari bhav, same thing. They're just different words for the same thing. And anyway, these are different types of ecstatic emotion. That's one of the main topics in the Nectar of Devotion. I mean, most of the devotees read the Nectar of Devotion, they don't really understand what's going on in the Nectar of Devotion. And they don't see the actual logical progression that Rupa Goswami is taking to the Nectar of Devotion. And at the end of the Nectar of Devotion deals with the improper mixing of rasas, which is called rasa-bas. You understand? Rasa-bas. abhas, rasa, abhas. So devotees should study this nectar devotion. I mean, I've given many seminars on it. I mean, it takes a long time to give a seminar. I mean, it's like a whole week of like several hours a day to actually give an overview of nectar devotion. To actually study nectar devotion would take 6 months to study all these different things. But to do an overview, I think in about a week of nectar devotion. And then after nectar devotion is a postgraduate book of Rupa Goswami's that takes you to a higher stage. Anyway, we won't tell you about that because that's when you graduated from nectar devotion, which will probably be in next lifetime. Hmm. So any questions or comments? Yeah.
Do all the devotees experience all these different bhavas?
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. It depends on, you know, what your rasa is with Krishna. Not that all the devotees experience all the bhavas, but Srimati Radharani experiences all these different bhavas. Yeah.
She's the only one?
No. Those in the conjugal ras, associates of Srimati Radharani, they experience all these bhavas. And then the other rasa, they may or may not experience. And of course, it's not as intense as Srimati Radharani's experience of the bhavas because she's a clever Mahabhav. I mean, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited her intensity of expressions of the bhavas. Hmm. Everyone understand it? So, any other questions?
And devotion, the result of the devotion is nectar.
Well, the nectar, an ocean. It's not only nectar of devotion, it's bhakti rasamrita sindhu. It's the ocean of the nectar of devotion for Krishna. In other words, if you're in an ocean, there's unlimited nectar. That's like bhakti rasamrita sindhu. Sindhu means like the ocean. So, like we say, kripa sindhu. A devotee is what? Kripa sindhu. An ocean of mercy. And Krishna is an ocean of mercy. Krishna loves us so much. I was just having a discussion the other day on the internet with someone who was making the philosophy up that Krishna feels no compassion for us. This is crazy. He's not an ISKCON. He's a deviant group that's following, anyway, someone else. And they were trying to influence the devotees in saying that Krishna doesn't feel any compassion for us. So I was thinking, if that was true, which it isn't true, then you would say that we have more qualities than Krishna, because we can feel compassion. Krishna certainly feels compassion. Of course, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that's brought out, where Krishna just like jumps in ecstasy to see Gopa Kumara come back to home, back to God. He embraces him. He says, "I've been waiting for you for so long. I've been wondering when you're coming." That's compassion. So the Sudama Ram. Yeah. I mean, Krishna was just, he loves his devotees so much, he's making plans. If he didn't feel compassion for us, he'd never send his pure devotees to try to rescue us. He would just say, suffer. That's a Christian vision of God. Because in the Christian, many of the Christians, not all of them, many of the Christians believe that if you don't surrender to Jesus Christ in this life, guess what happens? Does anyone know? Eternal damnation. So I was reading one Christian tract, that means a small little book, and it was a little cartoon, and it showed someone who hadn't surrendered to Jesus in this particular lifetime, and he was in this boiling, you know, vat of oil or something like that, Pallad Maharaj's type style. Anyway, he was in hell, and there was fire around him, and there were all these little devils, you know what a devil is? Satan, all these little Satan devotees. And they were all with him, pointing their pitchforks at him. And he said, save me, Jesus. And then Jesus or God responded, well, you didn't surrender to him in this one life, so that's it. Eternal damnation. I mean, that depiction of God or picture of God is extremely disturbing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That if you don't surrender right away in this lifetime. That's your only chance. That's it. That, primarily the Christian, most Christians nowadays believe that. And all you have to do is surrender to Jesus. You don't have to do anything he says either, according to them. You say, Jesus, I'm yours. And they say, thank God I did that. Now I go to the bar, smoke marijuana. I can do anything I want because I'm saved. And if someone says, maybe you should change your behavior, say, no, no. The soul is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's a standard thing they say. And they blame the devil for everything that they do. Like if they go to the bar and they said, this is my, do you think Jesus would want you in the bar? He said, well, the devil made me do it. So they take no personal responsibility. That's generally the Christian outlook. All you do is you praise the Lord and you'll be saved. You get baptized. You know what baptized is?
Yes. When you're, it's
for means you go a fancy type of swimming.
No. It's a sacrament of initiation.
Yeah, but how do they baptize? They put you in the water.
They pour holy water on the baby's forehead.
And they put him into the water.
Depends on what sort of...
Yes.
Yeah, usually they put him in the water. In America, they put him in the water.
In Roman Christians, they pour...
Roman Catholic.
Yeah, Roman Catholics, they pour water on the forehead only.
In America, they actually put it... They actually have a bathtub in the church. It's called the baptismal font.
Yes.
And then they put him in there. And... They actually dip the baby in.
We have the baptismal font, the priest gets water.
Just on the forehead.
Yeah.
That's not enough. And so sometimes what they do is when you're getting ready to die after you've been sinful your whole life, they do the last rites, they baptize you when you're dead, when you're getting ready to die. And there's one religion that even baptizes you after you die. Does anyone know what religion that is? The Mormons. What they do is they go into all the historical records and they do this whole like mass baptism of everybody that was born for the last 200 years. And then people complain. They say, wow, not the people who are dead, of course. They say, why should you baptize my grandfather? He was a Hindu. You know, so anyway, it's a crazy thing. The baptism. Actually, the real baptism is like initiation where you take a vow. But if you don't fulfill your vow, you're not actually initiated. It's just like, it doesn't work. It's not that once you get initiated, you've got it made, you've got your spiritual name, and you can join the club and go back to Godhead. You have to complete that. Completion of initiation means to fulfill your obligations under initiation. Okay, any other questions? Yeah. No, we haven't. It's your birthday? Yesterday.
You can cut the cake today.
Yeah, we should have a birthday cake today. I saw that on Facebook. Everybody was wishing you a happy birthday.
Oh, yes.
That's the only way to find out things is from Facebook. So even tonight we should have a birthday party for you. At Santa Pani Mooney's.
Last night, Gurudev, you mentioned that when Krishna incarnates, takes different incarnations, he comes with his consort, and every incarnation comes with his consort.
The consort, yeah.
So what about Varadev and Vamandev?
Vamandev eventually got married.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah. So Vamandev eventually, not when he was a little kid, obviously. And Varaha, you know, Lakshmi Varaha.
Okay.
Lakshmi Nrisimha. I mean, Lakshmi is always there. Even if she doesn't fully manifest, there's the line on Lord Vishnu's chest which represents Lakshmi. So she's actually there, always on his chest. The Srivats. Yeah, there's the Srivats. It's always there. So Lakshmi is always there on Lord Vishnu's chest. He doesn't go anywhere without Lakshmi.
So that's the same.
Yeah. There's always a manifest, even if it's not if Lakshmi's not manifest externally. Lakshmi is always there. Prabhupada said Krishna never goes anywhere alone. He always has his consort, his associates, his friends. I mean, Macha, I'm sure, had friends, fish friends. You know, I'm sure that he just doesn't appear alone in any incarnation. Because Prabhupada said he's an important man, like a king or prime minister or something like that. is always with his associates. So, but at least there's the Srivats, which is Lakshmi. Because the Lord cannot be worshipped without his energy. And the energy cannot be worshipped without the Lord. It's just like they're inseparable. They're the ideal couple.
Energy and energetic.
You can't have the energy without the energetic, and you can't have the energetic without the energy. It just doesn't make sense, philosophically or ontologically. I'm sure that Macha had his little fish, female fish. I don't know what she looked like, but anyway. I'm sure she was a good-looking fish. So,
In the same way that Nityananda Prabhu is the one person who form of Krishna, is Gadadhara Pandit a more approachable form of Radharani? You know, how does that work?
Not necessarily. We approach Radharani through her devotees, as I mentioned last night. So we approach, first of all, before you can even think of approaching Gadadhara Pandit Goswami, you have to approach Lord Nityananda through Lord Nityananda's representative, the spiritual master. There's this whole progression I mentioned the other day, that we approach Lord Nityananda through the spiritual master, and then we approach Lord Chaitanya after we've gotten the mercy. Actually, by approaching Lord Nityananda, we come to the platform where we're free from material desires. So that's how we should pray to Lord Nityananda. That my dear Lord Nityananda, I'm always miserable, but you're always happy. Premananda Shuki. Amiboro Duki, I'm always miserable. Please fix me up. Take me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. And so we pray, my dear Lord Nityananda, please free me from all these impediments, these anarthas. And then we become qualified to approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then we go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and we enter. The whole time we're entering into the Sankirtan, the preaching of Krishna consciousness. Then after that, we become qualified to approach the six Goswamis of Vrindavan to understand the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never spoke about the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna except with just very intimate associates. Like Swarup Damodar Goswami, Ramananda Roy, Sikha Mahiti's sister, and of course Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. And Raghunath Das Goswami. But very intimate. He never talked publicly like we do. But it was the six Goswamis of Vrindavan who actually wrote books that could be publicly distributed or read about these intimate things. Lord Chaitanya didn't write any books. So it was the six Goswamis who enable us, the common people, to approach Radha and Krishna. Especially Rupa Goswami. I know Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami. So it's very important that we study the literatures left by these great personalities. And that's why Prabhupada, one of the first books he translated was the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion.
The reason I asked is because in some of those bhajans it says that, you know, if Advaita Acharya is kind to me, then Nityananda Prabhu automatically will be...
Premananda Sukhi.
And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be automatically pleased as well. Yeah. Chaitanya Prabhu is pleased. So I was just wondering how Gadadhara Pandit or Srivas Pandit fit into all that. Like, how do you approach
them? Well, first of all, Gadadhara Pandit, Srivas Pandit, and all the rest of them were going out and preaching on Sankirtan. So we approached the Panchatattva by sharing Krishna consciousness with others. That's how we get the mercy of the Panchatattva. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. But there's no indication that approaching Gadadhara is easier than approaching Srimati Radharani. Of course, it does say that when we enter into, before going to the Braj pastimes, we must enter into the Mayapur Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is a progression too. First, we must enter into the Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu before we can enter into the Leela of Braj. That is our doorway. But as far as Gadadhara being more merciful than Srimati Radharani, I haven't heard that.
Or does she...
Certainly, Lord Nityananda is more merciful than Balaram. But they're the same person. What? What's
well,
that?
You know, you said go from Nityananda to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the six Goswamis. Does
then Radha and Krishna.
Right. Does Gadadhar Pandit fit somewhere in there or in that progression? Or?
Well, Gadadhar Pandit is part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in Mayapur and also in Jagannath Puri. So in that way he fits in. But Gadadhar is Radharani. Of course, he's Radharani. I mean, if you get into little fancy stuff, he's Radharani whose bhav has been stolen by Krishna. Because Radharani, part of Radharani's bhav or emotion is this man, this anger. And so you don't find Gadadhar Pandit Goswami getting angry with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Radharani was certainly angry with Krishna many times. He was actually submissive. So he appeared to have the same bhav as Rukmini or Chandravali, we mentioned last night. However, he is Radharani, but his bhav, because that particular aspect of the emotion has been taken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he doesn't exhibit that bhav. A little, anyway, that's a little esoteric stuff for you. All right, any other questions? People have to go to work. You have to go play soccer?
Nope.
No?
Soccer season finished.
Finished. Thank God. Thank God. And Radhasundari has to go travel to Europe, right? To this evening, right? Europe. She's going to see the Eiffel Tower.
I'm going to see Radhasundari.
I know, I'm just joking. Not the Eiffel Tower. Devotees have no interest in these mundane things, actually. I've traveled all over the world. I've even been in France, but I never went to see the Eiffel Tower. I've been in Australia, as you know, and I've never gone to the Sydney Opera House. Even though the devotees... I know it's boring. Or the aquarium. They have an aquarium there, too, you know? I've never been there. I've crossed over the harbor bridge, but I've never climbed. One time a devotee said, I'll pay for you to climb the harbor bridge. I said, better you give the money to the deities.
I want
to climb the harbor bridge. The devotee said, so therefore, we're not interested in the things of this world. Okay, on a happy note, we should end class. All glories to Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.